We'd like to welcome everybody back inside the Holman Studio in Southwest Chicago, where the Hamlin Avenue Boys record.
This reminds me of my days on stage.
I know.
Check, check.
Well, I'm reminded of a very famous and legendary musical number you were involved in, where you actually danced with a bottle of wine on your head.
Yes, that was.
And you did quite well at it, if I recall.
There's a fiddler on the roof.
Well, we were both in that.
Yes, we were.
I wish I had it on video because my sons did not believe me. They said they could never see
it. Well, there's still people alive who saw it.
The kick that we did.
I know.
They don't believe I did that.
I don't know if I would believe it either, but there are people alive that can corroborate.
Well, I told them I was much younger. You know, I was only 17.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We kind of retired from that.
Yeah, come on. Back then you could do that.
Yeah. You know. Well, you would do that because it was the entree into being around more girls, going to an all-boys school.
Absolutely.
That was helpful.
That was the only reason.
It's a good enough reason.
Theater was not number one in my
mind. No, it's a big reason. Although you did go to Hollywood.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So well, see,
then I did Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's right.
I was Pontius Pilate in that.
You took it further. You were Marlon fucking Brando is what you were. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
As a fiddler on.
This is Bruce from South Dakota, and I never listen to the Hamlin Avenue Boys podcast.
My question is, what is beauty?
What is beauty to you? What is beauty to you? What is beauty to you? What is beauty?
We know it's in the eye of the beholder. It will be a little different for you than it would be for me. We all know that. But is there a common cultural definition that you begin with? And then from there, it jumps off into, I don't know, I might have made it more than it is.
Well, I mean, it has to be pleasing to the eye, right?
Okay.
I mean,
okay, but wait, what if you are eyes closed listening to music that's beautiful? Then it's pleasing to the ear.
Well, yes, and there would be some music that you would not, even now, you would not like.
Let me go further. What if you were laying on a bed, eyes closed, no music, quiet?
Was I naked?
Hear anything? No, you weren't naked yet.
Thank God.
You weren't naked yet. But you were lying there, very relaxed. You didn't hear anything or see anything because your eyes are closed. But you felt something. Somebody brushed up against you with no sound. Now that is a beautiful experience. So where I'm going with this is I'm realizing that all of the senses are part of what beauty must be.
Oh, well, true. I mean, if something smells offensive, that's, you know, meals, everything.
Well,
then in that aspect, everything in life has to deal with beauty.
I would say that's a good point.
If you're going to eat, you know, you're not going to eat something that looks like, you know, a pile of crap.
Well, true, in most cases, some things, after you become familiar with them, no longer look foreboding. like, for example, your family was into beef tongue.
Oh, true.
Okay. I never had that. I've never had it, nor will I ever have it.
I don't think I will since I've left
there. I have to say that because it's one of them things where, for some reason, it was not beautiful to me.
Gee, I don't know why.
Well, let me read something.
It did have a cream gravy in it.
Well, okay, maybe that was my problem.
That could be.
You put a good gravy on anything, I'll eat it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost embarrassed to say the spectrum is wide.
Well, except for the sandwiches I would bring to school the next day. I would sort of hide those, although they were really good.
How would anybody know what it is?
Well, that was it, you know.
I brought liverwurst, so don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah, I would bring that. That's nothing.
That's also kind of like...
But beef tongue
That's
is,
not attractive you know,
yeah.
looking.
I mean, if they say, what are you eating?
It's an animal paste.
Yeah.
All right, now listen to this. Beauty is commonly described as a feature of objects that makes these objects pleasurable to perceive. Now, before I go any further, perceiving, I guess, is where I was going with the senses, the five that we know of, all have an element of beauty to them. Such objects include landscapes, sunsets, humans, works of art. Beauty, together with art and taste, is the main subject of aesthetics, which is one of the major branches of philosophy, aesthetics. I did not know that. I've heard the term aesthetic, that's aesthetically pleasing when you look at it. It's like a landscaping in someone's yard is aesthetically pleasing. It looks nice. But it's a philosophy.
Philosophy? What is...
Maybe it's just to perceive everything as, it's nice.
Even if it's not nice, you mean?
Well, wait a minute. That's a good question.
I mean, some people like blood and gore.
No judgment here,
so
but that's
that
true.
So is that aesthetically pleasing to them?
That's true. Good point. So again, we're back to this individuality that becomes the experience of beauty. There's some cultural commonality that begins when you're growing up. Everyone says that Christmas is beautiful. Well, we'll see.
True.
Which I might have told you this story before, but it's coming out now. We're talking aesthetics as a philosophy. It was a Zen story, I believe, about a farmer who had a very, very strong and virile son. He fell off a horse. The son fell off a horse and broke his leg, and it was really damaged. And everyone came from around the area to say, we're so sorry that your son went through this. We know how much he helps you with your farm, and we're so sorry. That's such a terrible thing. And the farmer said, well, we'll see. And then, within a few months, that country went to war, and the government came to every farm to get the young men that could go to war. And they passed on the son because he was all broken up in his leg, and they knew he could be of no service. So they skipped him. And everyone came from around and said, oh, isn't that wonderful that this terrible tragedy kept him from going to war? Isn't that wonderful? And the farmer said, we'll see. So what it said to me was, no matter what, we'll see, because things that appear good at the outset might not be later, could contribute to better. Things that appear fantastic now could be a prelude to not so great. So there's this sameness to everything except for the individual expression and experience of whatever it is. And I love looking at you. You're looking at me like you are fucking out there, man.
Why do you always get into that subject after we do this?
Yeah,
that's
true.
What I want to know.
Okay, probably.
It couldn't be anything
simple. I could blame it on that.
Well, I think you have
a
good point.
I think I'll exercise that option.
Right, I think that's good.
Bing. Beauty, maybe to kind of bring it full circle. It's always been kind of known that beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
True.
So we've really confirmed that yet again through my very verbose dialogue.
Well, no, that's, you know, through the eye or through the senses?
Through the senses of the beholder. There you go. More accurate. Very good, Vince. Nice.
What is beauty to you? What is beauty to you? What is beauty to you? What is beauty?
Hi, this is Tiffany Rosedell from Mount Greenwood, Illinois, and I never listen to the Hamlin Avenue Boys.
Hey, Vince, who is the most powerful person in the world?
That's a good question.
Well, you're having to think about it. That means it's a race.
You know, I don't think we know who the most powerful person in the world is. I think we know, but when you think of all the stuff, I think there's somebody calling shots that we don't know about, or an organization. You know, like you hear about the Masons, how influential they've been since George Washington, you know, and how they laid out Washington, D.C. in the, you know, pentagram.
I've seen that on TV.
Yes, yes. So, you know, they've been around for centuries, and they didn't disappear.
the direction you went with this really threw me a curveball, which was awesome. I didn't even ponder that concept of what if we really don't know who the most powerful person is or people. That very well could be, but weren't we kind of raised in a cultural sense to believe that the president of the United States was the most powerful?
Right, yeah.
That's not necessarily true.
No.
But your point is even better because it just says we just don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, growing up, you're always taught president is the most powerful.
Well, this is a fantastic segue, but what is your favorite animal?
You know, I've always had dogs. I like dogs as a favorite animal, I would imagine. Snakes freak me out.
Birds, yeah, but you seem to be very comfortable with the snake you resided with in Los Angeles during your theater days.
That scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, but you seem to be...
It was nice when it was in its cage. It was a
20-foot, 18-foot?
Yeah, 18-foot boa constrictor. And what was his name?
200
Cleopatra.
Pounds.
Cleopatra. I had a pool in my apartment complex, so when the landlord wasn't around, he would bring this snake out and put it in the pool. And as long as he fed it, you know, and he would feed it live mice, he would drop the snake in his bathtub. And then I would go, you know, we would go to the pet shop. He would get live mice. And he'd have them in the bag, you know. So the minute he entered...
Where was the iPhone for that, man, huh?
You know, and the minute we entered the bathroom, those mice, man, they knew something. Because that bag started moving.
You think?
Oh, yeah. So he would just one at a time drop the mouse in, you know. And as long as he fed it, he let
That's a cartoon gone real.
Oh, that it was, you know, that freak, I didn't want to see it. I just said shut the curtain.
Where's a place that you would like to go? Doesn't have to be one you had on a list for 12 years either. It
no,
could just be what
I would
comes
like to
mind.
Go for a long time. I would have liked to have gone to Australia. Now there's no way in hell I would go there having
because of the
trouble.
Flying.
Yeah,
Hawaii
you're
like,
would have been.
You know, you're kind of like Madden and the Madden bus, where you don't like to fly. You'd rather go on a bus or in a car. You know, like
right, like to drive to Alaska. That was one of my. You know, you just got to go through British Columbia. You can get right there.
Yeah, so that could still be left in the tank for
that
you.
That I could do.
Okay.
That one I could do.
Okay, cool. Who is the president of the United States?
Biden.
Well, half the people believe you're right. What age would you like to be when you grow up?
When I felt grown up?
Well, you could say that because that's looking
because,
at it.
Because, you know, every year you're when you say something like that, you mean like physically and mentally at my peak of what I thought would have been my peak?
I guess
peak,
that's a good point.
That probably would have been in my 50s. You know, I think I was...
Topping the tank in the 50s?
About 50, yeah.
Wow, I think that's awesome. I think that most people would say, in both males or females, say maybe earlier than that. So that's very cool that you think you stretched that stride well into the 50s.
Yeah. You know, like they say, when you get comfortable with yourself and know what your limitations are and what you know, feel like doing. And
or what really interests you.
Yeah, I think at that point you do understand what you want to get into.
All right, so assuming for a moment that you wanted to make a change in this new year, and it was going to involve being responsible for something in the way of work, and it could be creative output just by you for you. But what is it you would like if you were going to have a job and you were going back to work in the sense of wanting to feel part of that again? What would you want to do? And if all things were available to you, a blank check of opportunity, and you automatically would either be given or had the skill to effectively do the job. So I'm kind of making an imaginal, magical potion for you. We've talked about potions
we
before.
Did. Yes, we did. you know what I think? Ever since I was a little kid, and I think it had to do with when I was growing up, there was a lot of construction behind our house in the South, you know, Blue Island and that, when they were building the road and the bridge and all that. I was fascinated by heavy equipment. You know, I wish I became a heavy equipment operator.
Did you play that out as a child? We probably played trucks together, I'm sure.
I did a lot of that. Yeah, I would lay out actual
We had,
construction
well, remember the plastic
sites.
Army men?
Yeah, and then little HMO or HO cars. And yeah, I would lay out construction sites, you know, in the dirt behind our garage and stuff. And although I don't know why I never pursued it as, you know, it was something it interested me.
In a manner of speaking, if you were going to return to the... a regular responsible frequency of doing something that at least you would enjoy, that might be something you would then pick up and do, would be
right.
Get involved in construction or the heavy equipment side on any level, maybe, you know, to learn the business, whatever. But that would be an environment where you might put yourself.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
well,
cool.
I figured that was easy. You're sitting and you're, you know, I'm not busting my ass digging a ditch. I'm sitting now. They're air-conditioned cabs and heated cabs, and you know what the hell. So
yeah. We talked about snakes. Love that story. I experienced it firsthand traveling to California to visit you in Hollywood. The snake, if it were yours, I know it wouldn't be, but in this imaginary world, if the snake that we talked about, Cleopatra, were yours, what would you name your snake?
I think I would pick probably just a simple name. Something stupid like, you know, Steve or Ed or something.
I like that. A human name.
Instead of going off.
Well, it's like we did with our dog, Charlie, you know.
Right, yeah. See?
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, we had a dog, it was Sniff. What the hell, you know? I'm not going to call my snake Snake or...
Sniff. Sniff would be good.
That would be good. Yeah. Or no, who was on Escape from New York? Snake
Plissken.
Plissken.
Yes, yes.
Plissken, yeah. Call it Snake.
That would be,
call
yes.
it Plissken.
See, that would be pretty cool.
That would be very cool. Love that. Very good.
Why should we trust in politicians? And why should we vote at their elections?
Vince, help me out with something here. I'm struggling with trying to figure out what the definition is. What is a politician?
You want the real truth?
Tell me the real truth.
Or what they tell us.
Give me the red pill.
Most of them are out for themselves. I don't really feel most politicians are out for
representing us
other than gaining wealth and power. When you look at a number of millionaires that are in our Congress and Senate, they banter of certain things they want to have everybody else do but them. I've never had a high regard for politicians.
So really,
all
the
my
definition
life.
Is broad, but it ain't pretty.
It's not pretty, no. The less I see of a politician and his politics and his policies, the better I am. Stay away from me and let me live my life.
Let me be the wallflower I was destined to be.
Exactly.
I love it.
I don't need you telling me how to do it.
Why should we trust in politicians? And why should we vote at their elections?
I like to eat food, wonderful food.
Tasty food.
Tell me, what food would you eat forever?
Oh, probably, specifically, I would probably say like sea bass. I love sea bass.
Sea bass.
I love fish.
So,
if it was a choice, I would go fish all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I applaud that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, growing up next to a great lake, there's some relationship that can develop there, I think. Are you primarily talking saltwater or freshwater as your favorites? I know you like lobster and things
like
that.
Yeah, I do like lobster, yeah. I don't really have a preference, but whatever the biggest piece I can get. Tuna, I really like tuna.
Really?
Halibut.
Do you eat tuna out of the
halibut? I used
pack?
To eat all the time in California. It was cheap then.
Do you eat tuna out of the foil packets?
No, I don't eat canned tuna.
Okay.
No, I mean like a tuna steak.
Yeah, tuna steak.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
But that's why I liked halibut. I was able to get a halibut steak, and it was cheaper at that time where I lived than to buy an actual steak. So I would always eat halibut steaks. That,
We had a great conversation a while back talking about what if you had to ride with somebody, would they find you interesting?
Yes.
And I wanted to circle back to that so that we can kind of go just a tad bit further. What do you think makes someone interesting? So as you go someplace or you've been places where you found somebody, a bar or a bank, you know, interesting in a moment of dialogue, whatever, what makes someone interesting?
I don't know. I mean... That's hard to say. I mean, what, you know, really, what does make somebody interesting? What they do for a living? I don't know. You know, I'm not really into what you do for a living. Probably more of how you live your life. when we were traveling, like in New Mexico or whatever, you meet those ranchers out there. I found them very interesting. You know, I mean, I could listen to those guys all day long. And to see how their lifestyle was, you know, I mean, you'd go by and you'd see, you know, their house is 4 miles away off the road, and that might be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they may also, looking at the mirror, they may also be viewing this guy from Chicago who's traveling southwest. Well, this guy was pretty interesting. You know, he comes from up that way. Do you dream much?
I have, yes. I think I dream almost every night.
I think we all do. I've been reading.
And I probably remember a quarter of what I...
Can you remember anything, the most recent thing that might have occurred that you would remember? Even a part of it, and if not, that's fine.
It involved a group. I was in a group of people. I don't know why. Almost like a camp setup. It might have had to deal with something because I took my granddaughter. We went to Sullivan Camp. In that woods is supposed to be, well, there is, a deserted village. And you just see the foundations and so forth. I think at that time, where I lived, it was called Cobblestone back in the 1800s or Cobble or something. So probably being in that camp.
Not to be confused with a Catholic camp or.
No, it was just, no, we were, in my last dream, I was with a bunch of people. I don't know who the people were. I think there was a campfire
just
going.
Just standing there,
yeah,
being a wallflower?
Talking to somebody. I couldn't tell you who or what we were talking about, but that was probably our last, yeah. And that was just last night.
Last night?
Yeah.
Wow. I felt the freshness of that dream as you told me.
Really? All over?
I felt the freshness of it.
And what was your last dream?
Well, I'm in an altered state right now, and so it has impacted my random access memory. So I'm going to have to leave that job on my desktop until I can get to it at another time.
Hi, I'm Bill from Startsville, Texas, and I never listen to the Hamlin Boys.
I've been reading all the letters that you wrote me. And all the fairy tales you sold me, and all the pretty things you said.
What's the prettiest thing you've ever seen?
Well, I remember seeing a whale jump up when I was out.
You mean when you were dating?
San Diego, like we were looking out with my uncle. He took me to a restaurant out there, and where did Reagan stay? I forgot where his, but we were out in that area and there was a bluff and near Capistrano, it was somewhere near there because we also went there, you know. But we were looking out on the ocean and all of a sudden you could see the whale jumped it. I thought that was, wow.
How old were you? Cool.
Well, I was living there, so where I left for California,
okay.
18.
That's your 19. Hollywood days.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because he would take, at that time, you could get from where he lived to San Diego in like an hour. When he finally moved out of California when he retired, he said the trip was 4 hours. He said it would take me 4 hours because traffic was so heavy. So he hated it, so he moved to Arizona. Yeah.
He hated it. He moved to Arizona.
He said, I don't know.
I guess that's what happens.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you would do if you were president immediately that you'd want to be noted for if you did nothing else and you were taken out on the next go-round?
You know what? I would make sure that the Constitution stays as a Constitution and that one vote, one person, and you have
so
to
voting
be,
rights of some kind?
Voting rights would definitely be, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that. You'd want to get that passed.
I mean, I don't want other people voting in my country who are not citizens.
I would agree with that.
You know, that would probably be the number one. That would probably coincide then with immigration.
You know, to tell you how much voting probably should and does mean to many, there's a friend that lives in Reno and also lives in Mexico. And they sold their house in Reno, but they're renting a house in Reno that's just something small to store their stuff because they'd have to get a storage shed anyway. And they wanted to be able to vote. And so you've got to have a residence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was that important to them to still have a bond of renting or owning so that they could exercise that constitutional right.
That was the one thing my dad always instilled into us, and I instilled into my
son. Yeah, I would say my dad did that,
voting.
Too.
And what was funny was he passed away the election in 2016 on Election Day, because I had just gotten back.
You know what? I think a lot of people passed that day.
I took my son and his girlfriend to vote. You know, I made sure. I was so adamant, you know. I mean, I'm adamant. You vote. So right as we pulled in the driveway, I got a phone call from the home that he had passed it.
Wow.
Yeah, that was weird. But he always, that was the one thing he always said, you know.
He probably had voted in absentee probably earlier.
Well, I don't know if he voted that. No, he passed like 10 o'clock that morning.
I know, but he may have sent his in because he couldn't go.
Yeah, absentee. Yeah, he would always.
My dad does that.
Yeah, he would always do that, yeah.
We did that last time for the 2020.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were up here and we had the Texas ballot mailed here.
Yeah, yeah. My sons, because I tell them, you know, they go, oh, I can't get there. I said, then go absentee.
Right.
But get your vote in.
Especially going back to biblical times. First of all, feet. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked, I think, some time back, how as you mature, you gain appreciation for your mobility and your feet. And you start to think, you know, I could have done better taking care of them when I was younger, too, and the things that...
But did it ever bother you looking at feet? Your feet, my feet, walking in the sand or walking to the pool?
Did it ever bother me looking at them?
Mm-hmm.
You mean bother me and like...
Well, it's like,
like
feet,
a needing therapy,
you know,
or something?
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, it's like, oh, feet, I don't want to, you know.
I never thought about that.
Because apparently now, this young generation, like 14, you're 15, 16, 8, you know, they don't like the feet. You got to be covered.
On anybody's part.
Got to be covered.
The feet for a whole generation of people is not attractive?
Well, it's... Well, however, in that age group, I guess, high school age... Yeah, so I've heard, feet are not attractive. You should cover them.
So people that might consider their feet to be, you know, pretty decent, then they would not gain any momentum there.
But a lot of them now don't think their feet look right.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to cover them.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, keep it covered.
Yeah.
Anything you don't like, keep it covered.
Oh, well, I just covered them.
All right, so back to dirty feet. Now,
right.
let's start, and thank you for going where you
went. Well, I just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you for doing that. But I want to talk about biblical feet. Can you imagine?
Biblical.
And I could be wrong about this because they did a lot of washing of feet. You know, and I wanted to see if there was a service where you could go and have your feet washed very nicely and gently and then just put your socks and shoes back on. Would you ever, if you were given a gift certificate, would you ever do anything like that?
No.
You wouldn't let somebody wash your feet?
I couldn't stand another person touching my feet.
Of anybody?
That would bother the hell out of me.
Anybody?
Nobody.
Not even your wife?
Nobody.
I don't understand.
Really?
Yeah, don't be touching my feet.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. So when you got swaddled,
be probably be
so when you got swaddled, you'd have to stay away from your feet.
Oh, the feet stay away.
Okay, see?
Or the way you bundle it is you bundle it and then you start wrapping.
Okay.
You know, there's ways to do it,
yeah.
Yes, but don't touch them.
But you got, yeah, I got yeah. you. Okay,
as long as there's a blanket between, you know.
Okay, so then there must have been people like you in biblical times. I guess you would wash your own feet, though, wouldn't you? You'd go to a river and wash your own feet. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do my own. I'm not afraid to touch my feet. I just,
yeah.
You keep your hands off them.
Okay. All right. So I think I follow that. But their feet.
Yeah, where were you going with this? And here's what I don't get. They're all living in the desert, but yet they got water to wash their feet.
Well, by the way, they didn't just wash indiscriminately. It was primarily more ceremonial.
Well, so yeah. That, okay.
You know, to honor somebody as a guest or something, you know, it would be like us washing your feet here.
Right.
And we were going to do that, by the way. And now we hear that you would have.
You
would have embarrassed us
Correct.
And refused
yes.
it.
But then they're worrying, aren't they wearing those sandals? So they're going to get all dusty anyway. It's not like they have paved roads.
That's true. We're realizing feet are probably generally cleaner in this modern age than they were back then.
Yes.
But however,
well, even if you don't want to wash them, if you take a shower, they're going to get, you know.
Yeah, and you're going to wear leather. If you have some money, you'll have leather somethings on, won't you?
Watch yourself. What do you mean?
You know,
leather, like leather sandals,
something,
type shoe?
something.
Well, you would, but it's with the you're not going to close it off like a shoe, so it's going to get dirty anyway.
That's true. Except the Roman soldiers, they had kind of like boots.
Yeah. Well, when they were marked, yeah,
bootish
going
business.
Into battle,
yeah,
but,
bootish business.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful we learned about the foot thing because now we know a category of gifts not to go for you.
No, don't go for the feet.
Yeah, don't.
You know, that's why I couldn't see, a pedicure? The person who does it, I just don't get it. And the person getting it,
Well, it's considered an art.
Well, sure, but I mean, I just, for me to touch another person's foot, that's not going
to
happen.
So you don't like to touch another foot either, let alone have yours touched.
I'll just touch my
own feet. So feet in general, we should all be cut off, basically, because.
Well, you know, the people go in there and they get the pedicure and the nails and the whole, you know, just the feet thing, I don't get it. For you to work on somebody else's foot, you know, you got to grab that foot and have that sloppy thing in your hand, you know, I don't care if it's coming out of soapy water or not, it's just...
If you say so, Vince.
I don't know, I just couldn't.
Well, you really took us someplace with that little
yes,
description.
I could not do that.
30 feet equals open mind.
I guess you would wash your own feet, though, wouldn't you? You'd go to a river and wash your own feet. Okay, okay.
I'm not afraid to touch my feet.
Yeah.
You keep your hands off them.
Not even your wife?
Nobody.